presence of the Lord is here, and we have a lot of people with us this morning. I was just sitting here thinking, y'all from Kansas, we have any people besides out of state besides Kansas? Anybody here out of any other state besides Texas? Everyone back here, yeah. Where you from? All right. And I know Jeannie's from South Africa. Literally, you know, I'm preaching to around the world today. It's good to have you in our service. I tell you, the Lord has blessed us here. And you know what? Doesn't matter where you go, God is there. And in our lives, we sometimes, when troubles come our way, problems come our way, instead of turning to God, we kind of back up and turn away from God. But that's when we need to trust Him the most, isn't it? When we're in the troubles of life, that's when we ought to draw closer to God. And that's what our story is about this morning. If you'll turn in your Bible to John chapter 4, we're going to talk about how to worship God, you know, in spirit and in truth, to truly worship God this morning in our lives. We talk about the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well in chapter 4 of John. I want to start reading it in verse 19. And listen to what the Bible says. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where they ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord, that we have Christ right here. He's here with us this morning. And Lord, I pray as we worship Him, Lord, that you will open up the words of truth to our lives, that we might just be able to come face to face with the Christ who is there for us, and that whatever we might be facing, Lord, that we can turn it over to you and have our lives filled with the water that satisfies. And we'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Now, Jesus says earlier in this passage, He's going from Jerusalem up to through Samaria. Samaria is about a 60-mile journey through the mountains, through the wilderness. You didn't really want to go that way. Most people traveling up to the Sea of Galilee and up that way would go up the Jordan River and walk along the river because it was a much nicer walk. But Jesus says, and in a passage of Scripture, He says in verse 4, He needs go through Samaria. Jesus said, "I need to go through Samaria." So He's going up through this mountainous region because He has a divine appointment. Jesus Christ is here today, and a divine appointment is when you meet God face to face. I believe there's those here this morning. You're not here by accident. Have you ever thought about that? You're not here just because you decided to come. You're here because God impressed on you to come. and he wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you what he needs to tell you. He said, I need to go by the way of Samaria. There's a woman there. He didn't say that, but that's what he knew. There's a woman that's coming to the well at noon, and she needs a drink. She needs the water of life. So I'm going by there, and I'm going to meet this woman at the well. And it was a divine appointment, and I believe with all my heart, God has you here this morning for a divine appointment in your life that you also might be filled with the living water of Christ, that it might bubble up inside of you, that you might never thirst again. Let's look at the woman. The woman of Samaria was a slave to sin. You see, Satan made her a slave to sin. She had been married 5 times, and she was going from one husband to the other. You know, old Satan comes along in life, and he whispers to you, I want to fulfill your every dream. I want to make your wishes come true in life. I want to give you a life that's full. That's exactly what he told this woman. I want to set you free. How many people today just think, well, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want to be free. I want fulfillment in life. Well, the devil says, hey, I want to show you how to be free. I want to set you free. I want to give you that fulfillment. But now, instead of fulfillment, this woman is a slave to sin. She's been discarded like an old dirty rag, time after time after time. Immorality is not a new thing. It's here today. It was there in those days. I'm sure if you ask this woman, she would tell you, you know, I want to do better. I want something better in my life. I've been married 5 times, and I'm living with a guy, and, you know, I'm treated like dirt. I'm treated like filth. I'm treated like trash. Sure, she wanted to do better, but you know what? She was a slave to sin. She had the bands, the iron bands of Satan around her life. All what she thought would be fulfillment in life had put her or took her away from that freedom and made her a slave to sin. And you know what? That fits your life this morning, and some of you. Some of you are here this morning and you've been made a slave to sin. You bought that old thing from the devil. He's whispered in your ear, oh, you got some living to do, brother. You've got some living to do, woman. Why not live it up right now? Why not grab all the gusto you can? Why not enjoy life? You only go around once in life. Why don't you live it up? And you did. You bought into that lie. And now you're wishing, oh, I wish I had something better. I wish I could get out. I wish I could break this sin. But I keep doing the same old thing over and over again, and Satan's got you bound. He's got you all tied up. Is that your life? There used to be a show when I was younger. It was on television. It was called This Is Your Life. How many of you remember that? Oh, your crowd's older than I thought. I'm just kidding. But if you remember that, you've been around a while, haven't you? How many do not know This Is Your Life? Raise your hand. All right, there's several young people here. Well, what they would do, contestant would come out, and someone would come from the past and talking about their life, and they would be surprised at the end. Well, Jesus knows your life. He knows everything about you. And he knew that this woman was a slave to sin. She had been bound up by the devil, and she wanted to break loose. I really believe in my heart that she wanted to break loose. And that may be you. You have a divine appointment here this morning. You've come and you really want to break loose from the sin that you're in. You want to be free from that sin. But somehow or another, you just can't seem to break loose. Not only was she a slave to sin, brother, she was a slave to sorrow. As I was reading this entire chapter here, and you can go back and read the other verses in the beginning of it to start out, but you can see really the sorrowfulness of this woman. She's really dejected. Oh, the devil has promised her much and paid her very little. Dr. R.G. Lee says the devil pays high wages, but he pays in counterfeit bills. And friends, that's just what we find out when we think we can enjoy sin for a season. Brother, there comes a payday someday, and that payday is found in counterfeit bills. And it's really not life at all, is it? You've really been sorrow, heartbreak. The bread of deceit is sweet, but the sin in her life had brought her sorrow in her life. And sin never brings you joy, does it? Oh, the devil whisper in your ear and say, try it. You'll like it. And the moment you try it, you realize it was a lie. There's a price to pay. There's sorrow in her life. She's a slave to it. A slave to sin and a slave to sorrow. Is that your life this morning? You want to break free, but you've got sorrow in your life. You don't know how to work it. You don't know how to get away from it. It just keeps always dragging in on you. And then she was not only a slave to sin and a slave to sorrow, she was a slave to superstition. She worshiped, the Bible tells us here, a God that she didn't even know. Think about it. She worshiped a God she didn't even know. She said, oh, Lord, I'm worship God. I know there's a Messiah. But she didn't know him. The Bible tells us many people have a form of godliness. A form of godliness. And that's what a lot of people who go to church today, they have a form of godliness. You talk about going to church and they say, oh, I go to church. But let me tell you something. That's just a form of godliness. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't worship God in the Spirit and in truth, you have a strange God that you're worshiping. Her God brought her no joy. Her God brought her no strength whatsoever. And yet she continued to wallow in this sin that she lived in. It was a pathetic kind of religion. You know, it doesn't make any difference. A religion, some people say, well, I'm Baptist. And I say, well, good for you. Do you know Jesus? Well, preacher, I go to the Methodist church. Well, good. I wonder if you know Jesus. Well, I go to the Pentecostal church. Well, that's good too, but do you know Jesus? You see? You can go to all of these different denominations. You can go to church every day of the week, and you still come. If you do not know Jesus, you have a pathetic type of religion. It had no power in her life. And she tried religion, and all she got was like many a person gets today, is a form of godliness that really doesn't know Christ. And the Bible says it over in Matthew, many of them are going to come to that day and say, Lord, we've done this. Oh, we went to First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel. We gave to the building program. We listened to the music. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never really knew you. You had a form of godliness, but you didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Is that your life? Where do you turn to when troubles come your way? Did you turn to God? Or did you turn away from God? You see, it makes a difference who you say God is. Jesus Christ, He's the one and true living God, and the Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, this woman from Samaria, she was a slave to sin. She was a slave to sorrow, and she was a slave to the superstition that you could worship God, and she worshiped a lot of gods. Now, Jesus comes to the woman, and Jesus is at the well, and guess what time it is? It's noon. Noon is a time that most women didn't go to the well to get water. The women that went early in the morning were probably the women that supposedly didn't have any problems being out in public. But this woman went at noon because she was hoping nobody would see her there. You see? She went because she was an outcast. She was despised by the other people. She was rejected. She had nowhere to turn to. Is that your life? You come this morning and you feel like everyone's against you, that you've been rejected. Well, let me tell you something. Christ has met you here this morning. You've come to the right place. You need to come to Jesus Christ for that divine appointment. Well, Jesus was at the well, and listen to what He said. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water? Would you, lady, give me a drink of water?" And you know what she said? "Why do you, a Jew," can you just see in her words there? Why do you, a Jew, ask water of me? Don't you know that Jews do not speak to Samaritans? Don't you know that a man wouldn't ask someone like me for a drink of water?" And Jesus said, "If you knew who was asking of you, I'd give you a drink of living water, a drink that would never thirst, a drink where you would never be thirsty again." And you see, in the conversation here with Jesus, the Lord brought her to that place where she could see who she really was. And He brought her to Himself. And to do so, Jesus Christ had to overcome some barriers. Now think about it. Jesus Christ asked a Jew of a drink. Well, one, there was a racial barrier. Look at verse 9. "Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew?'" You see, Samaritans didn't speak to Jews. Jews didn't speak to Samaritans. They were literally outcasts. They were dogs. You didn't speak to them. You didn't want to be around them. They had married, and they shouldn't have. They were supposed to marry Jews. But the gospel here is for all, isn't it? Didn't the Bible say He died for all? That whosoever may come? The gospel is for each and every person. But so many times, racial barriers have to be overcome. Amen or oh me? I think you'd have to say yes, amen. We must break down those walls of rejection. The gospel, the Bible says, is for every single person. It's not just for the, well, let me just put it this way. Isn't it wonderful that chapter 4 comes right after chapter 3? You know what chapter 3 is? Chapter 3 is where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he says, "Lord, how can I have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." You see, Nicodemus was a well-off-to-do man. He was a rich man. He was high in society. He was dressed nice in the clothes of those days. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you want to come to Christ, you got to be start all over. You got to be born again. Oh, he knew all about the Bible. He knew all about his religion. And Jesus just flat out told him, say, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And then right there in chapter 4, you come to a woman of ill repute. No money, no nothing. And Jesus said, lady, even though you're poor, you can come to Christ just the way old Nicodemus did over there. One rich, one poor. So it's not a matter of who has what in life, is it? It's not a matter of what denomination or what race or what religion you are. We must learn to break down the barriers because Jesus Christ says all people need to come for salvation. And you can see that not only a racial barrier, you can see a resentment barrier. Who, you being a Jew, can't you tell there's bitterness there? I believe there's still bitterness there today, folks. I was amazed when we went back to Israel. We had one of the nicest young Jewish men speaking to us about the Bible and about Jesus. And he walked where Jesus walked and he told us all about Jesus. And I asked him, I said, so you're a believer? And he looked at me and said, no, I'm a Jew. I said, you don't believe in Christ? He said, no. And I thought, man, how in the world can you tell me all about him and really you don't know him? So sad. But a lot of it's barriers, resentment barriers, prejudice. People all the time tell you, well, you know, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites at the church. Barriers. And I pray that if you're living a Christian life, that you'll actually live that Christian life so that people won't look at you and say, you're a hypocrite. You do one thing on Sunday morning, you do another thing on Sunday night, you do this Monday through Wednesday and Saturday, you're just a hypocrite. But let me tell you something. You might find fault in me because I'm just human. You might find fault in Brother Bill because he's just human. You might find fault in Brother Teddy because he's just a human. You might find fault in the Baptist, the Methodist, Presbyterian, the Catholic, whatever denomination. But you will not find fault in Jesus Christ. You will never find Jesus Christ had a bad reputation. Nowhere do we find that he sinned. And folks, there's a barrier that we must overcome if we're going to reach people for Christ. And Jesus knew that. And then there's a barrier of a bad reputation. Oh, have you ever heard, oh, I don't see how God can save him, he's so bad. Or God can't save me, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something. This woman had been married 5 times and living with a man out of marriage. Back then, men wouldn't even speak to women in public, not even their own wife. And here Jesus Christ is speaking to a woman who's, let me tell you, she was what we'd call a streetwalker, a prostitute, bad reputation. But God overcame that. The Bible is filled with places where Jesus overcomes people in their lives. Well, he eats with sinners. He's running around with the lost. Well, bad reputations. Down and out people, Christ wants them to be saved. Up and out people, Christ wants them to be saved. Isn't it wonderful that God wants all to come? Now, let me ask you something. Is that your life? Is that your life this morning? You're here this morning. You've been a slave to sin, a slave to sorrow, and a bad reputation. I want you to know, and God wants you to know, that he loves you. no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, He wants you. You see, the matter with people today is they think so many times that they're too good or they're too bad. The ones that have say, well, we're too good for that church up there. Or we're too good for Jesus. And the ones that are bad are say, well, preacher, we're too bad for Jesus. We can't be saved. You can if you'll let Jesus Christ come into your life. Let's look at the well of water just a moment. Jesus said, he used that well, like Brother Bill used a tongue this morning as an object lesson. He said, woman, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, he would give you the living water. Now, I just imagine in her mind, what is he talking about? The living water? If you knew who it was who spoke to you, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. Why is Jesus Christ like water? Well, let me tell you something. Water is good to drink. I don't know about our city water, but it's good to drink. Spring water is good to drink. But water quenches thirst, doesn't it? You know, I get out and I work down the farm and I'll mow half a day and I'll come in. I don't drink enough water, but I'll come in and I'll grab a bottle of water and drink that water down. You know, I've got Diet Cokes and I'm a Diet Coke fan. I like Diet Cokes. But you know what? When you're real hot and thirsty, you want a bottle of water. You can drink that Diet Coke and you'll still be thirsty. Isn't that amazing? I can drink Gatorade. People said, oh, you need to drink Gatorade when you're out there in the sun. I can drink Gatorade and I'll still be thirsty. There's nothing that quenches your thirst quite like water. And let me tell you something. There's nothing that's going to quench your thirst and hunger like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the living water. He is the drink that satisfies. And a person without Jesus Christ has a thirst this morning that only Jesus Christ can fill. Is that your life? Is that your life? You've got a thirst. You have tried everything under the sun. You've tried, oh, I know that, you know, I like a lot of things. And I have no problem with football games and going to baseball games. Matter of fact, I kind of like going out with the seniors when we go to watch the minor leagues play or whatever. I kind of like that because I like to see those boys. They are fun to watch. I have nothing wrong with the George Strait concert. I used to listen to old George Strait. I kind of like his music. But let me tell you something. If I went last night, and I thank the Lord, I saw one of our members here. She said she'd went, and she's still at church. Ain't that great? But how many, I wonder tonight, that might have went that's not here worshiping God today? Folks, only Christ will satisfy. I was just overwhelmed when they said that hundreds of thousands would be there. And I was thinking, how many of them know Jesus? And I don't want to be critical, because I think at the same thing when I see a football game. How many know Jesus at that ball game? There's probably more at this concert than at the ball game. But let me tell you something. Those things, if we're looking in the world to satisfy our thirst, and a lot of people do. Go to ball games, go to concerts. Pleasure. I wonder how many is out on the lake today seeking pleasure, thinking that's going to satisfy them. This woman, She had looked and looked and looked. She must have been a pretty good-looking woman to be married five times, I would think. She had something going for her. But even good looks doesn't bring satisfaction. I look at those in Hollywood. Some of them are good-looking girls, but they're, you know, they're drinking, they're taking drugs, and they're committing suicide. And you'd think, Lord, if they only knew Christ. The thirst that satisfies is Jesus Christ. And there is no happiness. There is no joy without Christ. Christ satisfies our thirst. Not only that, water cleanses. Jesus knew that water cleans, and he's the one that can cleanse our life. Listen to this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I love this passage of Scripture, chapter 6, verse 9. What know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Kind of looks bad for this woman, don't it? Isn't that what she was? Worshiped a strange God, adulterer. Kind of looks bad for her. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. But wait a minute. I like the end of that verse. Paul Harvey says, now here's the rest of the story. Paul says, and such were some of you. He's talking to the Christian brothers there. He said, listen, idolaters, adulterers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. What happened to them? They had given their life to Jesus Christ, amen? And he had cleansed them. He said, such were some of you, but ye are washed. That's what this woman needed, wasn't it? Washing. Ye are washed. You're sanctified. In other words, he said, you've been cleansed. You've been set apart now. You've been justified. It means made right with God. How did they do that? How did an adulterer, how did an idolater become right with God? They put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the blood of Christ cleanses us, the Bible says, from all sin. And listen, I know when Christ said that to that woman, her eyes perked up. For once in her life, she found somebody that really cared for her and could wash away all that sin and take away the bands that Satan had put on her life and wash her. And the Bible says, blot out those sins and those blemishes. Only Christ could satisfy. You see, salvation is something that's one time in her life. Sometimes people will come to me and say, I got to keep getting saved over and over and over. No. If you ever get it right the first time, it'll be enough. Amen? I came down twice. Let me tell you something. I was baptized twice, but the first time I just went swimming. When I got it right the second time, brother, when I invited Christ in my heart, let me tell you something. He washed me white as snow. He cleansed me from now till the day he calls me home. My sins have been forgiven. I've been washed white as snow. I don't have to do that anymore. I still sin every once in a while. I'll come across and I'll do something wrong. But praise God, he says, my blood has cleansed you. And what I need to do, I get out on my hands and knees before God. And I say, Lord, I have failed you. I confess that before you. And he said, okay, brother, get up and get back out there. Get in the battle. Man, this woman, Jesus gives her the water of life. And now the well is in her. And I get tickled. She runs back. She takes off air and she leaves that well. She didn't even take her water pots with her. Man, she's going to go back in the city and tell everybody she's been made complete. She's been made whole. She's been washed white as snow. Why didn't she take that water pot? She didn't need the water anymore. She had the well. And brother, when you get the well inside of you, it'll bubble up. It'll make your life wonderful. Why did Jesus seek her? He had a divine appointment with her. And brother, your sister, you're here this morning. God has a divine appointment with you. And I pray that you came to worship God in spirit and in truth this morning. Listen to the words. Because you need to listen to the words and you need to put them in the heart so that you can believe them. We worship Jesus Christ because He's worth it. He's the only one that has died for my sins. And the only one who's forgiven me of my sins. Let me ask you a question. Is that your life? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If so, praise God. Now, let me ask you something, another question. How much is Christ or Jesus worth to you this morning? How much is He worth to you? That's a good question, isn't it? How much is God worth to me? Well, let me tell you something. He's my all in all. He's worth everything to me. There used to be a little song that we sing that said that. But let me tell you something. If you say He's my all in all, He's worth everything, and you go out of here and you don't put Him first in your life, then He's really not worth much to you, is He? You may be one of those hypocrites. If you go out of here and you live like the devil on Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Saturday, I say Wednesday because I'm back here on Wednesday night. I don't know, but my battery needs charged on Wednesday night. Man, time Monday, I fight Monday and Tuesday. I'm ready to get back to Christ on Wednesday and say, Lord, you know, you got to help me through Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And He always does. But how much is He worth to you? Somebody said to me, well, preacher, you know what? I don't like you. I said, well, there's a lot of people that don't like me. That's all right with me if you don't like me. But do you like Christ? Well, yeah, I love Him. I said, well, if you have to love me then. How do you get that? Well, the Bible says, we talked about it this morning. If you love Christ, you got to love one another. And I'm one of them one another's. Well, I like Christ. Do you really love Him? You know, if you really love somebody, you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your life's going to reflect it. You know? How much is He worth to you today? To worship God, you must be born again. And you cannot worship God unless you've met Christ at the cross. And He washes you white as snow. This woman came to the well. She came a slave to sin, sorrow, and superstition. And she left with the water of Christ flowing through her. You can do the same thing this morning. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what problems you've got. I've asked you, is this your life? Are you a slave to sin? I don't know. But if you continue doing the same old thing, you're like the woman. You're bound to that sin. And listen, only Christ this morning can wash that away. Only Christ can take that. Listen, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Don't turn to the world. Turn to Christ. He's the answer for all our problems. Don't run away from God. Don't hide. He knows where you are. Put Him first in your life. He's worth so much more than the gold and the silver of the world. He's worth so much more than anything else. I've been to 4 funerals in the last 9 days. I've seen a 15-year-old death and a 90-something-year-old death. And all in between, And let me tell you something. Those that are in Christ, man, that wasn't a funeral. That was a celebration. I saw a husband stand up over his dead wife and praise God for her life because she was a Christian and led him to the Lord. How much is he worth to you? He is my all in all. If you need him this morning, he's waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to come to the altar and get your life right. He's waiting for you for salvation. If you will just come and say, I need Christ in my life, he says, I will come in. I will come in. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit has touched the hearts of the people. And Lord, whatever decision we need to make, Lord, that we might make it today before it's too late. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you